This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue on. It is hour three. Rolling along on a Wednesday and the day after the Major League Baseball trade deadline. Gabe Lax will join us from USA Today. We got that for you at the bottom of the hour, sort of the winners and the losers of the trade deadline. And as I said in hour number one, I am not sure where you would put the Mets. Did they win the trade deadline? Well, not really, because they didn't add anybody that was going to help them and propel them to the playoffs this season and a World Series championship. The season has gone completely awry. The season has been a mess. Did they win by at least admitting that that is the problem and not trying to compound their problem by adding on players that weren't going to help at all and admitting that maybe the direction that they went with the pitching staff was not correct and now they have to go in another direction? You could make the argument. You could make the argument that it was smart on Steve Cohen's part to realize, okay, you know what? We're going to drive down this road, but this road is a little bumpy. In fact, this road is actually leading to a dead end. So let's turn this thing around and let's go back the way we came and let's start again and let's take this direction. That is at least, I'll give him credit for that, but it's also giving credit in a way, almost trying to find credit, almost like trying to find a reason to be spin positively about what happened with the Mets. Now, I've seen some criticism of Steve Cohen, and we live in a world where no matter what you do, people are going to criticize you for it, right? Spoiled rich guy thinking he can just buy a baseball team. Well, let's be honest. That's sort of how it works, isn't it? You can grow a team from the farm system and be successful. The Tampa Bay Rays do it all the time. In fact, the Astros' success had been built on that. The fact that they had the worst record years ago and then built their system, and then that's why Sports Illustrated projected them to win the World Series in, 2017 when they won their first World Series? That's why Sports Illustrated projected them, because they were building it through the farm system. And yeah, sometimes you do what San Diego did, right? Which is you sign guys and you get Manny Machado and you trade for Juan Soto, sign Fernando Tatis to a big deal, and you commit a lot of money and you acquire Blake Snell and it doesn't work out. And you find yourself fourth in the division. But that's what the Mets did. The Mets, however, and this is where I will give Steve Cohen a little bit of credit here. It's not that he's going out and buying a bunch of players and not getting anything out of it. He paid for a lot of players that led them to 101 wins last season and a berth in the playoffs, albeit losing in the wild card. But this season has not worked out. And losing Edwin Diaz as a closer to a wild World Baseball Classic injury really set the tone for an awful season. No, this isn't a guy banging his head against the wall or doing something crazy over and over and over again expecting a different result. This is a guy that had paid for some key players and got success out of it. You win 101 games in baseball. I know the postseason is where the bread is buttered. I get that. But there was no reason for Steve Cohen to believe that getting Justin Verlander would have been a mistake. He was adding a Cy Young Award winner to a team that won 101 games. He was pairing him up with Max Scherzer. It was supposed to be this dynamic duo after losing Jacob deGrom.
Right? A reuniting, too.
Right, a reuniting, too, right. So he was bringing these two players together again. They lost Jacob deGrom. He went on to Texas. They brought in. Why wouldn't you try to better a 101 win team? There's no reason to get on rich guy Steve Cohen who thinks he can buy a championship. He's not trying to buy a championship. He's trying to add good players to a team that was winning a lot of games last season. Now it didn't work. So what does he do? He not only gets rid of one, he gets rid of both of those guys. So think about how he felt about those two individuals 5 months ago. Think about how he feels about them today. He had to get rid of them. And here's the key. This is where money does help. So anybody that thinks that, you know, hey, billionaires spending their money. When they traded Scherzer, when they traded Verlander, what was the key thing that he did? Or at least agreed to do, and I think Billy Elper was the guy that really sort of put these deals together, was he got the Astros, he's paying for a good chunk of Verlander's salary. he's continuing to pay a good chunk of Scherzer's salary. So they're getting these two guys at a relatively inexpensive price. Now, why would he do that? Why would he give money? Why would he pay money on this? Because it sweetens the deal for the back end. You don't get Drew Gilbert, for example, the top Astros prospect, if you just give him Verlander, and oh, by the way, whatever we're paying him, now you're on the hook for. No, he's like, I will pay a good portion of the remainder of this contract for this year. And in order to do that, this is what I want in return. So you're going to get Verlander for the stretch run at a really, really cheap cost to your organization financially. And I'll take the two prospects. Same thing with Scherzer. They did the same thing with Max Scherzer. So the Rangers are getting him for a relatively inexpensive bargain. But again, you've got to give up the assets. I am going to do this because I'm not going to take just two pitchers that you want to throw in a pot that we'll never hear from again. I want the guys that matter to you. I want the guys that are important to you. So for me, again, I can't wait to kind of talk to Gabe Lax about this. I really don't know how to feel about the Mets. I think it's embarrassingly bad. Right? I think it's terrible. This team's awful. But I also have to admit that I do respect people who go, this didn't work, I'm going in another direction.
No, I mean, and it's quick that he pulled the trigger. I mean, a lot of times you see the owners do this, and they'll hold on to the player for the remainder of the season, just hoping and praying that something's going to work. And maybe they do a transaction during the offseason, or maybe they just give their outright release, blah, 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 you know, all those different things. At least he's making a move with this, like saying, like you said, it's like, you know what? I mean, we rolled the dice. We thought we had a good thing. You know, because first and foremost, we know he's a fan.
Yeah.
Especially he's a Mets fan. It's a big deal for him with this team. And just the fact that, he was able to just cut his losses and go, we got to move on. This didn't work out.
This reminds me of Matthew McConaughey playing Jack Lengle in We Are Marshall.
Yeah.
Where he goes up to the coaches and goes, power eye in the trash. And he that was his signature. That was the thing he was proud. Remember in the movie, he tried to explain the power eye to the school president. The school president was like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. He's like, yeah, you get your fullback and your fullback goes. And the guy's like, I don't care. Can you coach football? Like we lost our team and we need to rebuild this thing. And
you're pretty much the only coach that answered our call.
You're the only coach that will take this. You're the only coach that answered the call. But then he realized when he got there and he had to put together a brand new football team because of the tragedy of the plane crash, he realized power eye, I ain't going to work. I don't have the players. I don't have the talent. That goes in the garbage. And they were looking for something else. So at least I give Steve Cohen credit for at least going, look, could I just keep these guys and continue to just grab player after player after player in free agency? Could I keep these guys and make a run at Shohei Ohtani in the offseason? He could have done that. Oh, by the way, and this kills the Shohei Ohtani deal, doesn't it? This kills any chance the Mets will land Shohei Ohtani. Because even if you go in a little bit more, Shohei Ohtani is not going to a team that is going to be competitive in that division for a while.
Well, and that's what I was curious about with some of the deals that were going on, because it seemed to be the Dodgers were doing a lot of deals where it was for cash considerations.
Right.
And I kept seeing that over and over again, cash consideration. And the Angels were doing the same. And I was like, all right, are you guys, I know that you're getting rid of prospects. And, it's not tens of millions of dollars that you're getting back in return for these guys. But is this what you're kind of working towards?
Yeah. Are you making moves today that will help you in the wintertime?
Yeah.
When everyone is going to get a seat at the Shohei Ohtani table and pitch themselves.
Yep.
Right?
Because, I mean, I can just picture Shohei is going to get wined and dined all across the United States. He'll come to grips that the United States is the greatest country on the planet.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Because of how much love is going to be showered towards him.
It is going to be an incredible
kind of scene. Imagine it would be like, when the Beatles landed at your regional airport because they were doing a small show and you were outside the airport waiting for them to get off. I figured that's how Shohei is going to have, right?
Shohei is going to be, it's going to be a blast this offseason to watch teams.
Are
the
there
and the rumors of deals and whatever?
There aren't any other free agents this summer, right? Or this offseason?
Yeah.
There's no other free agents.
There should be no free agents other than Shohei Ohtani. Everyone who is even, should be like, I'm not even going to, I'll be like on the phone calling. Like,
Jerry, why do I keep thinking of movie analogies? Kind of like Jerry Maguire, right? Where he's following Cush,
right?
Cushman. And then poor Cuba Gooding Jr. is like, I'm right here when you're ready. I'm right here. All these free agents like, now you like me. Now you love me, don't you? Sorry, I just didn't land.
No. I did stumble across a list of other free agents that are like free agents other than Shohei Ohtani. And there's some names that you all have heard of, but
Shohei Ohtani. But yeah, you got to at least admit, how would you pitch if you're Steve Cohen? How do you pitch Shohei Ohtani? Because all the money is going to be about the same. There's the ballpark, and you got to be in the ballpark. So you got to pitch, he's going to be like, look, if I want money, if I only want money, I can get it from the Angels. I need to go to the playoffs. I need to compete for a title. You're all going to pay me about the same amount of money, so it's not going to be dramatically more.
And it's not going to be blind on him or anything like that. Mike Trout has been on this team for how long, and he hasn't been in the playoffs ever.
Yeah. So 2014, the last time the Angels went to the postseason. Yeah.
Can we really count that? Yeah. It was just a one game, one game wild card to say, can you actually get into the playoffs?
Exactly.
And they lost that one. That's the only playoff experience that Mike Trout has had.
Yeah, Philip on Twitter, and when Shohei signs with the Cubs, you'll hear me screaming from the mountaintop. All right. I'm waiting to hear that.
God's honest truth is this, too. If there aren't 30 teams at least trying to do this, then something's wrong.
Oh, yeah. Every team should be, hey, listen, we may not be able to offer you the most money, but we've got a really awesome petting zoo in our city. You'll love it. It'll be great. Everybody should make a little pitch to Shohei Ohtani. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so Gabe Laxel will join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk to him about the winners and losers of the baseball trade deadline. Get his thoughts on the Angels not trading Shohei Ohtani, being all in, being like, all right, we're in. We'll try to win this thing. We'll try to get in the playoffs.
I think it's a bad move. I do.
Yeah, well.
I can't blame these guys thinking we have a real shot at making the playoffs. But at the same time, you can make the playoffs, you're not going to win, and you're not going to get anything for them.
The goal isn't to win, though. The goal is to make the playoffs. You get so much more revenue if you make the playoffs.
Right. But, is it going to be enough to land him and keep him full-time?
Well, I go back and forth on this because I think that if you're Artie Moreno, if you trade him, are you basically saying to the fan base, there's never, ever, ever going to be anybody ever good on this team ever that's ever going to put us in the playoffs? Like I can't excite you on a bunch of prospects. Well, what? Prospects are going to get us to the promised land? Some of these aren't going to work.
What if you got a bona fide star for them?
That's a good question.
If you're the Braves, all right, and I know this is way out there, but would you give up Acuna Jr. for Shohei Ohtani?
No, only because I think I've.
Where's the asking price then?
Okay. Or
which star player is Shohei Ohtani where you look at it and go, yeah, I'll give up my future rising star player for this guy?
It's a difficult question to ask because you're not getting Shohei Ohtani's contract. You're getting him to the end of the season.
Right.
So if I have Ronald Acuna Jr. under contract, you're asking me to give you his services for, let's say, the next 5 years, 10 years, and you're giving me your guy for 2 months, and I may not land him in the offseason. So it's a difficult question to ask because it's not apples to apples, because it's superstar to superstar, but their situations are completely different. When you are getting a rental player that you might go, and we may not get him in this winter, I'm willing to give up prospects because I want to win now, but I'm not going to give you the core of why we're winning now that we're in the middle of it, because I can't guarantee that in the end he's going to stay, and then I've lost him and my megastar, the guy that put us in a position to want Shohei Ohtani for a championship run in the first place. So the only answer for people getting a guy that's going to be a complete free agent at the season, there's no unrestricted thing in baseball. You're either a free agent or you're not.
So would it be somebody who has an expiring contract?
You could do that. If you have a free agent that's a star that you haven't been able to lock in yet, you could do that. But that's why prospects work, because you don't know, and in the end you're not that concerned about it. Like, you can give up a few guys in the farm system to win today. But it's hard, because if you're a team that is going to pitch for him, like I wondered a couple of things about this for the Angels. What if the Angels did try to trade him? Like, they're saying that they didn't. They're saying we're not going to trade Shohei Ohtani. We have no idea what was on the other end of any call that they ever made. Like, they're not going to try to – they're not – if you have Shohei Ohtani and trade him, you're not just getting rid of him. He's not costing you anything. Like, it's not – you're not getting rid of a huge contract. It's not like the NBA where I'm getting rid of an expiring contract next season to free up money off the books. I may lose him in 2 months. So if they're calling teams, like if they're calling Texas and they say, what's the asking price for Shohei Ohtani? And they say, well, here's what it is. Boom, 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 boom. This is what my guy's telling me. Texas goes, well, it's a little too steep. I don't know if I want to strip the farm system down. A lot of times you see guys get traded where it's like, you know, like a guy gets traded and then it's like two prospects. One is even unnamed. Like, I don't even know who it is. But that's just to get rid of a guy.
Player to be named.
That's right. A player to be named, right? It's just to get rid of a guy. In Shohei's case, it's like, no, I want, give me your, here, we found a list of your top five people in your system. That's what we want. And some teams are like, eh. So it's possible that one, they tried to trade him, but the asking price was too much for teams. Two, they could have just said, you know what? We're going to try to make the playoffs. We are going to try to win for this guy because we want to show him that we're willing to do this now, that we are turning the corner. Like, whatever we're going to need to go forward with him and Mike Trout, we are going to do it. It has not worked in the past, but we're going to figure out a way to do it. And maybe, just maybe, that's enough to convince him to stay with the Angels. But I don't know. I think Shohei, if I'm a betting guy, I think he's playing on another team next year.
Well, I mean, because then all of a sudden it becomes this, right? I mean, if the Angels make the playoffs, let's say they have a decent run. They make it to the championship series, right? Hypothetically. Is that enough for Shohei to turn around and go, all right, you know, it's not going to be about the money. You know, now I'm going to look at this team because, hey, we had a good run.
I'm hoping.
And if this team is moving in the right direction, or will it simply be, I mean, say the Angels win the World Series, is he still going to look back and go, yeah, but that was weird, and I'm going to go chase the big dollars?
Yeah. Well, my hope is this, that the dollars that he's getting offered, they're all within the same ballpark, so it is a decision based on baseball, right? Somebody's going $550, somebody's going $525, somebody's going $570, somebody goes $515. Like, it's all within the same half a billion plus dollars on a 10-year contract or whatever it is. That I hope that he goes, okay, all of this is great. It's a million here. It's a couple million here, a couple million there. I want to make the decision on baseball. If he just takes a top offer, that could come from anywhere. I mean, and you may not see him in October baseball again. Like,
well, that's when you look at it and go, okay, well, that's, you know, who has the big dollars right now? It's always the Yankees, Mets, Dodgers.
Is anyone going to 600? Is anyone going to do that in this deal?
And see, and I think, I mean, that's, and it's, it could be a real possibility, because I don't think it's out of the question, because you would, if you're the Rangers right now, right? Because they've been doing the most shopping out of all the rest of the teams in the past calendar year. Dropping $300 million on two players probably doesn't seem that crazy,
right?
And that's what you're getting. And so I can see a scenario where it's like, okay, we're going to throw $600 million. Maybe it's a 12-year, $600 million deal towards Shohei, because I'm getting two players for one price.
Yeah, exactly. If Shohei Ohtani was just a pitcher, never came to the plate, what would you pay for that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what if he was
an elite
hitter?
Pitcher? By the way, I mean, a guy, right, who has a Cy Young.
No, just a pitcher. Just saying, here's his numbers, here's his stats. Here's his accolades. All of this. What would you pay for this? What would you pay for a guy that's 200 plus strikeouts and this ERA and in this record? Like, what would you pay for that? Okay, you'd pay $300 million for that guy. Okay, now take another guy that is he's outfielder, designated hitter, but he leads the league in home runs and he leads the league in he's one of the top leaders in triples and all that. What would you pay for him? Right? If it was just that, what would you pay for this? If this guy was on the open market, you're right. You're getting two guys that would command a $300 million salary on their own. The two distinct things that Shohei Ohtani does, each one of them is worth a $300 million contract. You're right.
Yeah.
You're probably going to get it for $500. You're probably going to get it around five.
Right, you're going to get a discount.
25. Yeah,
you're going to get a discount. Absolutely. Because you would spend $300 million on this player, then $300 million on that player, and there's your $600. Like you said, I mean, Shohei Ohtani could get $500 by himself, but you're like, okay, now you're in reality, it's like, okay, we got two players for $250.
Yeah,
that's a discount.
Yeah, so
that's what we paid A-Rod, what, 10 years ago, 12 years ago.
It's crazy. So it is.
So for me, I think it's going to be 600. I know the numbers are 500, 550, like you said. But I think at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, someone's going to come to the table and go, here's a 12-year deal, $600 million.
I have a hard time believing that I just don't think he's going to be an Angel next year. I know they'll try. I know they'll really try. I just got a weird feeling he's going to say, no, I'm going somewhere else. I will be moving on.
History shows. I mean, that, and that's the problem is that, you know, if he wants to make a name for himself, like you said, he's going to want to go to a team that routinely makes the playoffs.
Yep.
We all know of him. But the problem is that not everyone gets to see him.
That's one of the problems with him.
How many times have you got to see Shohei Ohtani play?
Yeah, a full game with no problems, no issues. Like, it's on TV. Yeah, because, you know, one of the major ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, one of the main national games that you can get, tries to find out how to schedule the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Exactly. Every week, right? Yankees, Red Sox.
As soon as they can do that. So, but yeah, no, it's going to be... It's a very interesting winter, but Gabe Lax will join us. We'll get a complete rundown of what he thinks with all of what happened yesterday at the trade deadline. All right, it's Wake Up Call on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We continue.
Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with his Wake Up Call. Again, AFC South Week, NFC South Week. We'll have the Atlanta Falcons tomorrow. Another good friend of the show, D. Orlando Ledbetter, will join us. But we're talking baseball at the trade deadline yesterday. Some of the winners and losers. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. For a job you'll love, visit progressive.com/careers. Progressive Insurance. Round out your protection with life, phone, and pet health insurance. Gabe Lax joins us, USA Today, at the trade deadline for Major League Baseball. How are you, Gabe?
Good. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great. Thank you. All right. We have been doing this all morning, kind of tossing with back and forth with the New York Mets. How do you view the Mets as winners or losers? Winners because they realize we got to go in another direction and got to go in another direction quick, or losers because what they wanted did not work out in a really bad way?
Yeah, I would not call them losers just because you take a kick at the can and you go for it and it didn't work out. And you definitely can't fault them, because how many times have we faulted teams for not spending money? So finally a team goes for it. It doesn't work out. They kind of pivot in midair, and that's kind of tough, and decide to go another direction. But, you know, the direction they went, that's definitely debatable. But at the same time, you know, you put out the biggest payroll in baseball history. You bring in two Hall of Famers, future Hall of Famers. You can't really like deride them for going for it. So really interesting tactics they chose in terms of, like, you know, supplementing, basically subsidizing the salaries of those guys in order to get prospects back. So it's, basically buying all these prospects. In a few years, it's going to be really interesting to see how that works. So Tough to say whether it's a W or whether it's an L until we see how those guys turn out, because they, you know, they probably could have not given so much money to the Astros and Rangers for Verlander and Scherzer if they accepted not much in prospects, but let's replenish the system, and so we'll see how that works out. It's a really interesting way of going about it.
Yeah, and that you made a really good point. I mean, the fact that they could get like a Drew Gilbert and Ryan Clifford, and these prospects that are high in these organization within the organization because they were willing to pay on that contract of the guys they were sending out, that at least shows that look, if they're going to trade these guys, they're not just getting rid of them. They want something valuable in return, really valuable.
Right, and you know we'll see how that turns out. It's going to be a really interesting referendum on the front office in terms of the guys they chose. Now, you know, their hands were a little bit tied because, you know, both of those guys had no trade clause. And I think Max, it was a little more just, okay, I'm almost 40. I want to win. So he might have, you know, he might have accepted a deal to a few places. With Verlander, really kind of the comfort level of Houston, he really wanted that. So, you know, the Astros could have really, you know, left them over a barrel, but they did give up a couple really good prospects, freshly drafted. And, so it's good that they got that much for them when really there wasn't much leverage due to the salary and no trade clause that both of those guys had.
Is there a leader in the clubhouse in your mind in that AL West race, depending on with the additions of the players that they did get for the Rangers and the Astros? Are you feeling, I mean, hey, look, Framber Valdez was great. I mean, that's fun. But where exactly does this race actually stand?
Yeah, I pretty strongly favor the Astros right now. You just look at Verlander and Scherzer. Verlander's pitching a little bit better. Eovaldi, you know, on the IL right now with a forearm issue. Martin Perez has not been pitching particularly well. And then, you know, keep in mind the Astros just got back Yordan Alvarez. They've got Altuve back again. They've played vast majority of their season without. When both of those guys have not been in the lineup together. So that's a really great dimension for them. The vibes are really good right now, obviously. I mean, you pretty amazing daily double. You go get Justin Verlander and Framber Valdez throws a no-hitter. That's, you know, I don't know if Baseball Reference has a query for that, but that may be a first right there.
All right, let's go to the Angels and the decision to keep Shohei Ohtani. What do we know about the decision? Were they all in, or did they pitch him and just not getting enough in return, or were they always focused on we can win, we can get into the playoffs? Let's just go in that direction.
Yeah, I guess the one great unknown is the extent to which did Perry Manassian just listen and nod his head when people called, or did he engage? I don't think he really engaged much, you know, because you're going to accept any phone call. You know, everybody's always for sale. You know, that's always the way it works. So, but yeah, no, I think they were pretty focused the whole time. And I think even if there was I don't think there was a difference between ownership and management, but I think it would have taken a pretty amazing package for the GM to even approach the owner, Artie Moreno, and say, hey, look, you know, maybe this is the time to do this kind of thing. You know, there was not going to be anything, resembling the Juan Soto package last year just because it's just 2 months of control for as great as Ohtani is. So I think it was a relatively easy decision for them and pretty much just went pedal to the metal from there, and why not?
What's the feeling? I mean, you know this a little bit more in terms of economics. Do the Angels have a good shot amongst the teams that will be competing for his services long term? Or is it because they don't have a deal that they'll be more disadvantaged to getting the deal in the winter?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And it's almost more so, you know, what's on Ohtani's mind. You know, he's definitely indicated that, you know, he wants, you know, winning above all. So, you know, if the Angels give it the old college try this year and come up maybe just a little bit short, but he's in it, maybe that changes his mentality on Anaheim a little bit. But, you know, it's really tough to say. So I think, again, it's winning above all. He does seem to like the West Coast. You know, the big thing with the Angels is just the contracts of Trout and Rendon, among others, you know, really kind of hamstrings them. You know, Artie Moreno finally went over the luxury tax, with these latest deals here, not going to be much of a bill, obviously, but, he's definitely not a Steve Cohen. He's definitely not a Peter Seidler when it comes to, you know, just going full bore. So to be able to construct a team around him when you've got, I think, four more years of Rendon's contract, and of course Trout signed through the decade, you know, and then you sign Ohtani, you know, you're pretty much boxing yourself in every year in terms of other, you know, other allocations that you can make unless you're committed to going way over the luxury tax. So I think that is probably going to be the biggest factor. You know, will Artie Moreno push himself away from the table when it gets up to about $500 million? And you know, that's an inherent advantage when you're a team like the Dodgers. Number one, you have more resources. You're more willing to spend them, a deeper-pocketed owner, more willing to go over the luxury tax. So that's going to be a pretty big advantage in the offseason. So I would say, you know, the Angels' chances of retaining them are still pretty slim, unless Ohtani has a pretty big change of heart.
One more question on Ohtani, and it kind of led me to what you were saying about the $500 million. In other sports, we see a salary, and then we kind of wonder, what does it mean for the next guy? Well, in Shohei Ohtani's case, it's not really a next guy. So is this one of those salaries where that's the outlier, but everyone else is going to be hovering in another area?
There's nothing really quite like it, unless a young man named Bryce Eldridge, who was just drafted by the Giants, becomes Ohtani. You know, he's a pretty legitimate two-way guy, drafted about 20th overall. Yeah, there is no comp, and he literally is two players. And yeah, it's just amazing to me that you know, he's not a, you know, he's not just a pitcher. He's fourth in the majors in strikeouts. He's not just a hitter. He leads the major leagues in home runs. You know, I mean, you think of, if there was a legitimate two-way guy, you know, it might be a guy who's a number four starter and a part-time left fielder. But no, I mean, he's incredible on both counts. So, yeah, definitely the, you know, setting the bar, sure, but good luck finding someone who's going to reach that anytime soon.
Gabe Lax joins us, USA Today. Were you surprised with the Orioles? They didn't really do much. What about the Yankees? This AL East is wild, but the leaders of it, were you surprised they didn't say, let's go add more, let's keep this rolling?
Yeah, I mean, the market really, really was that bad. I mean, you saw who moved. You know, it wasn't very impressive, you know, on all counts. Even the biggest names, you know, we're talking about, you know, 39-year-old Max Scherzer, you know, not Max Scherzer of, you know, 3, 5, 10 years ago. You know, Jack Flaherty, great addition. Also has had his flaws in recent times. You know, the Padres pulling those guys back, huge impact. You know, I mean, I really thought Josh Hader would have been an amazing fit for the Orioles just to really, really shorten those games. And I think they might have, you know, been willing to move a guy for a guy like him. But, I think the Orioles, in their case, still not really knowing, you know, who – I think they have a really good idea who's untouchable, but when it comes down to who you would be willing to move, I think you get pretty ambiguous pretty quickly because they have a lot of really good players, and maybe they're not quite ready to know who to pull the trigger on. As for the Yankees, I mean, just the biggest thing for me is the failure since the winter to get a left fielder.
Yeah.
you know, if you know, hindsight's 20/20, but you probably had a decent idea. You were probably going to maybe release Aaron Hicks if he didn't turn it around this year. So, you know, to go through the winter and into the trade deadline, and still have that hole there, just kind of inexcusable. But otherwise, not much there, not much to sell. So I don't hate on the Yankees too much for not doing anything. You can kind of understand where they were coming from.
Gabe Lax, always good talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much. I know it was a busy day for you, so thanks for giving us your time, my friend.
No problem, anytime.
You got it. Gabe Lax, USA Today, on the winners and losers of the trade deadline in Major League Baseball. More thoughts as we continue. It's Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks to Gabe Lax, USA Today. Yeah, that is going to be interesting. You know, we look at other sports, right, and we go, hey, Patrick Mahomes signed a contract. He's going to make X amount of dollars, and the next contract for quarterbacks is going to be a little bit more, and the next contract is going to be a little bit more. Justin Herbert gets a little bit more, and then Joe Burrow gets a little bit more than him. And then when Trevor Lawrence comes around, he'll probably get a little bit more than him, and so he goes as the cycle continues. But Shohei Ohtani, that's about it. Like, there's no one is going to be marching into their GM's office going, yeah, I'd like to talk about my contract now. He got $600 million. I wouldn't mind it if we could. No, that's not happening. This is one of the few times where a real unicorn is it. This is it. Everyone else has to take a back seat. There is not, you don't even get to grow up believing that that's the new benchmark for being a star player in Major League Baseball.
No, because, I mean, you could be a great hitter or you could be a great pitcher, but you can't be both.
This is what's interesting. Shohei Ohtani, okay, this is really interesting. Let's say a team locks up Shohei Ohtani for $500 million. That's it. Shohei Ohtani agrees to a $500 million contract.
Steal.
It could be six, but it would be five. I'll make a five example. That's a steal, right? You could almost guarantee that no contract will ever go near that thing for the next decade.
Yeah.
That you can, you and the other owners can know not one star can ever to me and demand this number.
Wasn't Mike Trout supposed to get that number or Bryce Harper supposed to get that number?
That's
and
right.
And they didn't come close.
That's right.
They didn't even break 400, right?
And so the next guy that comes around, right. And the next guy that comes around and is like, he's blasting home runs and he's bats 350 or whatever it is. Can you pitch? Can you strike out 10 guys a game? Do you have an ERA of 2.5?
What was the stat he had in the doubleheader? He threw a one-hitter. And then the following game hit two home runs?
Hit two home runs.
Can you do that?
Threw a complete game one-hitter and then hit two home runs. So, and then you got a pitcher. And let's say he wins 24 games and he has an ERA. Can you hit?
300 strikeouts. It was Jacob DeGrom when he had like the 1.8 ERA
or something, 1.6 ERA.
But only had 10 crazy wins. But right. Say you have that and, you know, like you said, 24 wins, 300 strikeouts.
Yep. Can you hit? You have 45 home runs last season? Like, you are seriously locking in the best player ever at a certain price.
Listen, you didn't even ask this to Gabe, but, I mean, is it out of the realm of thought that he could have 60 home runs this year?
Oh, that is absolutely doable. That is absolutely. He's got 2 months to get 23 home runs.
Yeah.
That is very doable.
Now we're looking at a pitcher who's like, okay, well, you know, you're in the running for the Cy Young again. And you just hit 60-plus home runs, and you're a free agent?
Yeah. God. So, again, think about how important this contract is to the union. Because they're looking at it going, a decade of no one getting near this number.
But they better look at it as, you know...
They better make sure that number is as high as possible.
Right. Because I'm saying they need the union. What the union needs to be doing right now is saying, okay, what just him as a hitter, what price should he command? I mean, if we're just doing that, say for his hitting, right, he could command $350 million a year just for being a batter, right?
Right.
Or not a year, but contract.
Oh, he's a $300 million hitter.
Right. Now, what just about that. Pitching? Is he a $300 million pitcher? Is he a $350 million pitcher?
Yeah.
What I'm getting at here is that if you're the union, you go, hey, he's a $350 million hitter and a $350 million pitcher, he better get $700 million.
Yeah.
Because if not, our guys are going to be hurting.
There's going to be a tremendous amount of pressure when they say to him, look, Shohei, you can't just take a deal because you like the city. Like, you can't just take a deal because you want to live in wherever. Like, you realize that we have our talent, our union is producing players young enough to command. We want them on their own, whatever it is that they do, to command $500 million eventually. But if you're locked into $500 million for 10 years, the best anyone is ever going to do is maybe four. But they ain't going anywhere near you because you're such a unique talent that no one compares to you. So if you can get it to six, that means we eventually as a union can get our young talent when they develop down the road as economics get, you know, as everything increases, we can eventually hit the 500 mark more consistently. But if you lock it in five, we're talking 10 years. No one's going near that number. No one is going near that number. Can you imagine anybody ever getting paid more than Shohei Ohtani in Major League Baseball? That owner would be insane. Insane. But this is one of the more fun things this winter to see where that number actually is.
That's why I said, I mean, it's got to be a six, because if you get it for $500 million and say you use 512 years, that's a steal.
It is.
I'm sorry. That's highway robbery.
$50 million a year? That's a steal. Yeah, that is absolute steal.
Not only that, but then I have to look at it this way, is that you just paid A-Rod money in 2023.
Yep.
For two players because you're paying $250 for one and $250 for the other. I don't care if it's the same guy. If you're going shopping, you say I need an elite hitter, I need an elite pitcher. You're going after, you know, whoever the tops is. That's why it has to be $600.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. Philip on Twitter, what are the odds he flirts with the home run record? Well, suddenly, the Triple Crown doesn't seem like it means anything anymore. I think it only counts if it's
a Triple Crown in both.
He can make a run at the AL record. He can make a run at it.
I think he could.
It's a lot of home runs in 2 months. It really is. But this is a guy that can hit five in a week. He can do that.
Yeah.
So
I still can't get over the fact.
He's got 39 right now.
A one hit complete game and then two home runs in the next game.
I know.
Same day. Nice. It's like, so I mean, he's not fazed by it. He's not tired.
Plus, it's like a little, all right, so you want to give Aaron Judge the MVP award for hitting 62 home runs? All right, I'll do that. And I'll strike out 250 batters.
Yeah, how about that?
How about that? You want to play this game? Fine.
And listen, it's not been out of the ordinary that we've had a batter or a pitcher win both the Cy Young and the MVP.
Right.
I think Clayton Kershaw might have been the last one that did that.
Yeah.
But it will be out of the ordinary for a person to win the MVP being the hitter and a Cy Young for being a pitcher.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And so again, he Artie Moreno at least gets him for 2 months on this little drive to greatness. And then whatever happens in the winter happens in the winter.
So. God, he's got to make the playoffs.
I know he does.
He's got to make the playoffs.
Completely got to make the playoffs.
Especially his agent. His agent will be feeling the same way just because more exposure.
This guy should be on October baseball should be on
every
be on
billboard,
TV, every game.
Every billboard, every poster. MLB needs to be just hounding him.
39 home runs. The guy's got 39 home runs. Pitcher.
Yeah, and he can make it.
And Gabe Lax made a very, very good point, and I think this was really important. We have seen good pitchers hit well. There are a couple of guys that can
Madison
hit well.
Bumgarner.
Right, Madison Bumgarner.
He was always the one that comes to my mind because I hate him.
That's right. But we haven't seen this where he's leading in home runs. He's one of the leaders in a number of pitching categories. Like he's a guy that you can't describe him.
Well,
like,
listen, before him
to process it.
Before him, you might have brought in a pitcher as a pinch hitter.
Sure.
Late in a game or in extra innings. Like you might have used Madison Bumgarner as a pinch hitter in a game. When you knew you weren't going to use him as a pitcher, you might use him as a pitch hitter just for that one at bat because he can't swing the bat well. Shohei Ohtani's the designated hitter. That's a huge difference. That means you're putting him in the lineup every week in, week out.
Yep, that's right.
And on top of that, like every five games, now you have him in, you have him in as a position player too. I know every once in a while he plays a right field, but they don't need him there.
You know, was a good, there was a guy on the Diamondbacks back in the mid 2000s, Micah Owings.
Yeah. I remember him.
Remember him? He had like 9 home runs in his career. I mean, he was solid guy at the plate for being a pitcher.
Yeah. Career, 9 home runs.
Yeah, I know. Career, 9 home runs. That's right. Career, 9 home runs. Yeah, every now and then he would tag one. You'd go, well, this is something you don't see every day. Can you imagine being a kid, being a kid at a game where, and your dad tells you, yeah, this is rare. Pitchers don't do this at all. Hit home runs. You're lucky if you get a base hit out of them. That kid grows up with Shohei Ohtani in his backyard. But yeah, like I said, every now and then you get a pitcher that's not a bad batsman, but you don't get this. You're not getting a guy that's leaning the. He's got 81 RBIs. He's got 39 home runs. This is crazy. Crazy. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. We got the Atlanta Falcons on tap for tomorrow's show. D. Orlando Ledbetter, one of our good friends in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, will join us. A Lombardi Line is coming up next. Don't forget the Hall of Fame game tomorrow night. You'll get to see football on your TV. And if that means football season is officially started for you, well, there you go. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.